Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum welcomes Susan Page this Friday night. We get a preview of what she'll be talking about. We talk about the book West of Wicked. We talk to the founder and executive director of the Moms Club of Grand Rapids. Mosaic Counseling is putting the spotlight on May as Mental Health Awareness Month. And the Beggar's Bell Bash happens in early June. We get a preview of that event as well.
Don't miss Friday night. And my next guest, Susan Page on the line, journalist, author, and more. The Queen and Her Presidents, your latest work, Susan. Of course, we'll also witness waltzing with the Queen from page to gallery. Susan, I look forward to seeing you Friday night on behalf of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum here in Grand Rapids. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. And I would just like to say I was at the dedication of the Gerald Ford Museum there when I was a White House correspondent for Newsday.
Well, you hang around long enough, you do a lot of things. And, of course, we've been witnessing your career from, you know, filling in for Diane Rehm to certainly the many books that you authored. And now you're hanging out with the Queen, Susan.
What a dame she was, really. You know, this record-breaking monarchy and this figure that seemed like often like just kind of a stoic woman in a colorful hat, but I discovered she really had a lot more to her than that.
So let's get into this conversation where you do and will be taking the stage to discuss Queen Elizabeth II. What met with more than you U.S. presence than any other person in history, Susan, if you'd expand.
You know, she met with 13 sitting U.S. presidents. She met two others when they weren't in office. That's a record no one has ever bested. And it's one that's likely to stand the test of time because she was queen for 70 years. She was the head of state of America's closest ally. And she turned out to be someone who both charmed presidents, but also was able to have conversations with them about world events that had some consequences.
Susan, your tagline is the hidden hand that shaped history. Can you expand with this?
So a hidden hand because she did it almost 100% behind the scenes. She did it mostly, you know, in public, she would give toasts. She would wear tiaras. This was what the public saw of her. But in private, over this long career, she had consultations. And, you know, one of the things that she did over and over again is the special relationship between the United States and the United Kingdom. It would encounter some rough patch, and the British would send over the Queen, and she would somehow manage to remind everyone to look beyond the problems of the moment and protect that long relationship between the two countries.
See your good writing regarding the Queen and Barack Obama, the Queen and Ronald Reagan. What about President Ford and the Queen?
So President Ford and she had a very sunny state visit here in Washington for the bicentennial. In fact, the Queen was not entirely certain she would come to our bicentennial celebrations if Richard Nixon were still in office because they were concerned about the Watergate scandal. So Nixon's resignation and Ford becoming president cleared the way for what was clearly a really joyful celebration of our 200th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. But I have to say, not a visit that was without a couple of gaffes at the White House.
Good. We'll continue our read to note that. Taking it back even farther, I note the almost paternal role played by Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower offering support, yes?
Yes. So Harry Truman was president when Elizabeth made her first visit to U.S. soil. She was a princess then, not yet queen. The British were concerned that Truman was setting up this post-World War II order that didn't give a big role to them. So they sent this charming but quite nervous princess and her husband, Prince Philip, to come and meet the president and confer with him. And when she arrived at National Airport, she was so visibly nervous that Truman was concerned she wouldn't be able to speak. They had a big press corps. They were planning to carry her remarks on live radio. So he took her arm, which, by the way, you're not supposed to do with royals. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to touch them, and whispered in her ear some reassurances as though she was his daughter. She's very close in age to his daughter, Margaret. And she kind of steadied herself. You can see on the newsreel, she sort of steadies herself. and then she delivers her remarks in a very charming way.
Susan Page with us. You'll see Susan this Friday night on stage at our Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum, May 22nd, of course, 5:30 p.m. The Queen and Her Presidents, The Hidden Hand That Shaped History. Tell me about what you'll present Friday.
So we're gonna show some pictures, including that, I hope, that famous picture of President Ford and the Queen dancing in the East Room. She's in a beautiful yellow gown, and he's in white tie. And we're going to talk about President Trump's inquiry to the Queen about who was her favorite president, and we'll tell you what she said.
Yes, there is always the cliffhanger. Susan, life is good. I mean, you continue to write and receive awards and obviously do your thing. Have you been to Grand Rapids prior? Well, yes, you mentioned that.
Yes, I came with the dedication of the museum. I remember it well. Other presidents also there. What a very nice day that was.
All right. Continue reading. I'm sure there are more projects under your pen. Tell us how we find out more about your work.
Well, I actually, my children set up a webpage for me, SusanPageDC.com, and it talks about the books I've written and things I hope to do in the future, maybe.
There's no maybe about it. Just do it. All right. Family that plays together stays together. Thank you, Susan. We'll see you soon.
Hey, thank you, Shelley.
St. Crow on the line, USA Today bestselling author, several romantasy novels, the series Vicious Lost Boys, selling over a million copies, 11 languages, and more. So let's talk now about your next labor of love. It's a book, it's a series, West of Wicked, an unexpected, sexy and dark reimagining of the classical tale where Dorothy searches for the truth and more. I'll let you talk. Nikki, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. All right. So I have a feeling when we talk West of Wicked, we're throwing little Oz in the category here.
Absolutely. It is a Wizard of Oz retelling. It follows some of those very familiar steps that we will know from the original Wizard of Oz. But this is a much darker version, a much older Dorothy. And you may know what to expect, but there will be some twists to throw you off a little bit.
Thank you. Before I get into the details, what is it? And I guess I'm asking a personal question. What is it about the Wizard of Oz, the theme, the whole gamut that keeps us so interested to perhaps want to read more in such the likes of West of Wicked? Why are we so intrigued?
Well, I think we all love a little bit of magic. That's certainly what drew me to Wizard of Oz. And on a broader scale, for me, more as an adult, the thing that I relate to the most is that journey. Like, I mean, it's a road trip story. That I fully believe it's a road trip story, and I love a good road trip. But there's also this journey of self-discovery that I really loved. And for Dorothy, that is definitely what she's going to experience in this series.
West of Wicked, what is it about, in your words?
Well, I like to say it is a story about a much older Dorothy Gale who finds herself in a much darker, cursed land of Oz. And like we are familiar with, she sets out on the Yellow Brick Road to find the wizard and find her way home. But that is where the similarities stop. And maybe even Dorothy herself is not quite who we expect.
What do your books, I'm going to go general here, in general, say about, I mean, there's power and agency in relationships, especially in, say, this dark romance?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say there is a very common theme in all of my work about women and power and I think for a lot of us, we feel like we don't have any power. And when I'm writing these stories, I want the reader to go on the journey with the character to realize they do have power. And by the end of the book or the end of the series, they are somebody completely different.
So again, your book is West of Wicked, The Great and Terrible Land One. No one is safe on the Yellow Brick Road. Who's your intended audience for this?
Definitely older. I would say 18 plus. And I do love a good romance. So my audience is primarily women, but this is truly for anybody who enjoys a little bit of a darker, grittier, maybe morally gray character as well. All of my characters are morally gray. And definitely if you enjoy fantasy, this would be for you.
Yes, I love the drawings of the front it's not the front cover of the book. Of course, that's a wonderful picture. But inside, you have, help me with this, the Impassable Desert, North Castle. Tell me more of this map, I guess is the term.
Yeah. So there is a map on the inside of the hardcover that covers all of Oz. And it is based on the original. So there's like cardinal directions, and then each of the witches they have their own territory with their own castle. And then in the original story, there is an impassable desert on all sides of the Land of Oz. So that is part of my world as well. That is kind of links back to the curse that Oz is experiencing right now. Nobody can escape Oz. So the question is why and how do we fix that?
Again, Nikki St. Crowe with us, USA Today best-selling author. Her latest is West of Wicked. Is it true that you create astrological, star charts for your characters?
I do, yes. I practice and study astrology. So it's very helpful for me to also cast their star charts to get an idea of who they are, but also some of the themes they might be experiencing. So like for Dorothy, for instance, she's a Cancer. And if anybody is familiar with the Zodiac, Cancer is very much linked to home. So that is a theme that continues for Dorothy throughout the entire series.
Does Dorothy, does she have a new dog in her life or any other, tips you can share?
Yeah, well, she does have Toto. Toto is a terrier that we all know and love. He's a little bit sassy, which was a lot of fun to write. But I think readers will realize very early on that there's more to Toto than Dorothy knows. And that's kind of that running mystery that will be throughout the series with hopefully a big payoff.
Yes. I guess back to where we started, target audience, those of us who maybe just love the Oz and Ozland and the twists that you now present us, yes?
Yes, absolutely. If you're a big fan of Oz, I hope that you enjoy this new version. I think that those are big shoes to fill, so I'm not trying to fill them. But I do hope that they really enjoy it.
Well, again, your descriptor, taking familiar characters, building new worlds and narratives around them and more. All right, West of Wicked, how do we find out more information, Nikki?
Well, you can find me on all the socials as Nikki St. Crowe, at Nikki St. Crowe, and my website is nikkistcrowe.com.
Thank you for your time, and may Dorothy forever live on, Toto as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Shelley Irwin. Thanks for being here. Founder and executive director of the Moms Club of Grand Rapids in the house, Markeisha Witherspoon, here to talk about the organization. It's a nonprofit serving over 3,000 families across West Michigan and more. That is a lot of lives touched. Markeisha, good morning to you. Glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm here as well.
Take me back 8 years ago to the founding of the Moms Club and what moms means.
Yes. So 8 years ago, I started an organization on social media platform, came from an idea of just needing more support. Being a mother navigating first time, I seen a lot in my community that there were a lot of resources out there. I've also witnessed firsthand how hard it can be navigating that as well. Whether you're a single mother, whether you are a first time or navigating multiple, there's always need to be, support. And so I created that organization and that safe space for mothers all over Kent County to come together and have a support system that may not have been there for them.
And MOMS makes sense, but it does stand for what? Maternal Outreach and Motherhood Support.
Yes.
Appropriately so. And here we are 8 months later, 8 years later. Are you serving over 3,000 families across West Michigan?
Yes. So about 8 years ago, we founded our first chapter here in Grand Rapids. So serving all of Kent County, Now we are serving all of West Michigan. So we have chapters in Lansing, we have chapters in Muskegon, Kalamazoo, and now Ann Arbor.
Yes. Who is we?
So we, the Moms Club of Grand Rapids, stem from myself. I am the, of course, the executive director. Yeah. And then we is the community. We is also my partners and the community organizations that we partner with that come together. Right now, we are grouped up off of volunteers, community workers, mothers like me and yourself, grandmothers, aunts, and just people that are wanting to support.
Nice. I'm a mother of dogs. That's okay, though, right?
I love mothers of dogs. I just got a dog about a year ago.
Okay, well, we could just talk about that, but we're not. We're talking about the Moms Club of Grand Rapids. Digging into more details, you provide support to moms and families throughout community events, parenting workshops, resource navigation, but you also do the essentials. Tell me more about the supply of diapers, wipers, and hygiene items. Where does this come into play?
Yes, so we also provide a community pantry that's for emergency need basis. So we do partner with other organizations like 211 and the Michigan Health Department and other organizations that may partner you in the time of desperate need. We provide clothing of all sizes from newborn to adult sizes, also maternity clothing, food, diapers, wipes, and formula as well as needed. These are always available by appointment basis, but we serve everyone. We will never turn anyone away.
Yes. Do you somewhat come to the rescue? I know Kent County Great Start Collaborative lost their funding, and obviously everyone, not scrambling, but looking for other ways to make sure that the little ones are touched, and you certainly in an important role for that. So thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I know firsthand how it's needed. We partner along with them as well before the funding cut, so it's really sad to hear.
Yes. All right, Moms Club of Grand Rapids. Let's talk about your parent cafes.
Yes, so our parent cafes, they are building strong families through conversation and connection. We join together for guided conversations designed to strengthen families and create supportive spaces for parents of all stages of parenting and caregivers. This is open in the community, 600 Burton Street. We use the chapel entrance at the Samaritas Foster Center there. So we partner with them. They're a really great organization. This is every third Thursday of the month, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. There's childcare available and dinner provided every time you come. You will not leave the same.
Nice. You ask parents, single, couple, partners, caregivers perhaps to this?
Yes.
Yes. Now let's have you expand into the community baby shower.
Oh, yes. So we're going to be doing a community baby shower. It's going to be held July 18th. And you can find all of our information, how you can get involved. This community baby shower is designed for parents that are expecting or have children 15 months and younger to come together to get resources, essentials for their baby or themselves, and just connect with other parents. This is going to be available on our site. You can find that there at themomsclubofgr.org or all of our social media platforms, the Moms Club of GR. That's Facebook, Instagram, you name it.
I'm not quite ready to talk about August yet. I still want, May to get warmer as it is. But there's a wonderful summit come August 8th.
Yes. So August 8th, we are going to have our annual backpack giveaway. But this year, we're going to do an education summit. We're teaming up with some wonderful education resources here, GRPS, and lots of other organizations that provide tutoring, mentoring service. You can find out resources of how to get into Head Start, college, high school, you name it. So this is designed for all parents. It's August 8th. And again, you can find that information on our website as well, how you can partner, donate, get involved, or even vendor as well.
Nice. Markeisha Witherspoon with us, founder, executive director, the Moms Club of Grand Rapids. Of course, moms as it is, but also standing for maternal outreach and motherhood support. Put the hat of certified birth and postpartum doula on. You strong in this field.
Yes, I am a full spectrum doula here in Kent County, servicing across West Michigan. So we do travel depending on the areas. We accept Medicaid and different insurances, but we do out-of-pocket pay that also provides scholarships and payment plans for those who may not have the funds. We believe that every birthing person should have a doula, whether it's during your prenatal, trying to conceive stage, or postpartum period.
And is that kind of what a doula does?
Yes, a doula basically provide that support to the birthing person, but we make sure that we want to emphasize that not just for the birthing person, but the family as a whole.
Tell me about your kid or kids.
Yes, I am a mother of three. I have twin girls. They're 8, and I have a son. He is 6 years old. They keep me busy, and they are definitely the inspiration of the Moms Club.
As they should be. All right, and I imagine the biggest challenge is a parent saying, I need to attend the Parent Cafe or head to the summit, just asking, correct?
Just asking. There's always resources that we provide, like transportation or things that may hinder folks from coming. We want to make sure that the resources, whether it's events or workshops, they are accessible for everyone out there.
Markeisha, how can the community help?
The community can help by volunteering, getting involved, sharing. If you see a flyer or post that we put out in the community, we're always canvassing in each neighborhood. There's always ways to sign up to volunteer on our website, ways to donate to our community pantry so we can continue serving the community. And then also just if there's anything that we can do to help you guys, that helps us as well by just hearing the things that the community are in need of.
Wonderful. All right. It's good to be a mom and to get involved. The Moms Club of Grand Rapids. Markeisha, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Mosaic Counseling puts the spotlight on May as Mental Health Awareness Month. We've been talking about it, and we'll continue right up until the end of May as, it's an important topic for sure for my next guest. Let's bring you into the conversation when it comes to Mosaic Counseling, what you've been up to and how we're doing with this Mental Health Month. LL psychologist Sarah Lowakowski, good morning to you. Glad you're here.
Good morning, Shelley. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we've talked before. We'll talk again.
We have.
Mental health is certainly important, as is Mosaic Counseling. Bring me back to the beginnings.
You bet. So we were founded back in the late 70s in Grand Haven, have been covering Ottawa County then for years and years, decades, but we have expanded to Kent County. And we have started that a couple of years ago. So really trying to get the word out, especially in May, Mental Health Awareness Month, that we are here in Kent County and, of course, Ottawa as well. We don't turn anyone away that resides in those counties. And with almost 300 therapists on our panel, we can see any age and any presenting issue.
Yes, and you, of course, a limited licensed psychologist, executive director, so you know it all matters. Your
yes.
tagline is where you are seen, heard, valued, and connected. Does that make you unique?
Well, I believe it does, just in that something that we do is unique is that, well, the not turning anyone away is unique, but also matching. So matching everyone that calls with a therapist that is just right for them, it makes a big difference. And as I said, the number that we have of therapists, we're able to do that. So, you know, someone might be looking for virtual or in-person, whatever they're coming in with, the presenting issues, they want to see a male, female, something that in their history that they're dealing with, the specialty then of that therapist is so important. And that matching, it makes a big difference too, because research shows that people drop out of counseling the majority after one or two sessions. And probably because the rapport with the therapist, we will say to people in the intake, hey, if we think this therapist is going to be great for you, but if you don't feel a rapport, if they remind you of someone that you do not care for, that's a barrier. And so we want you to call us back. We will match you up with someone else. But the other reason why people drop out is financial. So they thought their insurance would cover it, but they have a $10,000 deductible. And so they just stop. And so at Mosaic, if that ever happens, we're going to know that in the beginning. But then on a sliding scale, we go all the way to $6 or volunteer work. So, you know, I told you the research, they usually drop out one or two. Our data shows that our clients are seeing our therapists on an average of 12 times. So there's where you can really make a difference in someone's life.
Which is a reminder that seeking help for mental health therapy is often not a one and done.
Oh, no, not at all. And so that however many sessions someone needs, too. There's no cutoff. It's however many you need.
Does expansion mean that that we are perhaps seeking out help for mental health more so than perhaps 30 years ago?
Absolutely. We are definitely seeing that. We're really seeing it with our young people. So with our young people, they don't have as much stigma as adults and older people. They share, teenagers, young adults, they share with each other the name of their therapist. You know, I'm not only am I in therapy, but I'm seeing this therapist. And so that just creates then that word of mouth between them that, hey, this is okay, and it is really important. I do want to mention, too, that besides the accessible and affordable professional counseling, we also go into schools. And so we are in 38 schools now providing counseling that's free to students that have financial and transportation barriers. And so for almost 20 years, we've been doing this in Ottawa County, but I'm happy to report that we are in the Kentwood School District and expanding there, and then hope to expand to other districts throughout Kent County. Because that work there in the schools, it is life-changing and it is life-saving for these students.
Speaking of life-saving, you're also presenting suicide prevention training.
We do that as well. It's called QPR, Question, Persuade, Refer. We started doing that about 7 years ago because the number of people coming in, and this is just about pre-COVID, maybe 1 to 2 years before, the number of people that were coming in for counseling who were presenting with suicidal ideation, they had lost someone to suicide. And so because of that, we wanted to do something more, and it's an hour-long training. We've already trained over 12,000 people, half of those teenagers right at school. So that it really empowers you to know what are the signs to look for and then how to ask someone, how to question, how to persuade, and then how to refer. And that referral part of seeing a professional therapist, hey, we've got that. Mosaic is the easiest place to refer to.
I'm looking again at the breadth of experience that you have under your leadership, Sarah. I mean, you also deal with veterans issues,
yes,
and eating disorders.
Oh, yes. Yes, truly any population, any issue. And I do also want to say, to round out our services, we also have an employee assistance program.
Yes. What's that?
So we started that also probably about the same time as our school outreach, so almost 20 years ago. So an EAP is an employee assistance program. And so businesses, school districts, for-profit, nonprofit, hospitals will have an EAP for their employees and their dependents. And it's a place where they are easily connected then with mental health services. So the unique thing about Mosaic when it comes to an EAP, for one thing, we have so many therapists. So access is easy. Getting right in is easy. It covers so many free sessions for the employees and their dependents, but also sometimes places will use a national EAP, mm-hmm, but we're right here. We can come over to the organization. We can do lunch and learns. We're accessible if they just need to talk through something. Maybe an HR employee needs to talk over a situation with a staff, something, there's a death, and they need immediate crisis assistance, we can be there. So our EAP is really growing as well. We are the EAP for school districts, for very large manufacturing companies, small manufacturing, small businesses, banks. So that is something, too, that we really are looking at expanding in Kent County.
Looks like you've done the math. Mosaic Counseling turns every dollar donated into more than $3 in mental health services. And it looks like a $1,000 donation will pay for a student to receive in-school or teletherapy for an entire school year.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah, and that is due to our model. Our therapists, they're a panel of therapists. They are all in private practice. And so they lower their rates to us by a lot, by about two-thirds. So that donation, that in-kind donation by them, the donations that we receive, does a dollar donated, turns it back out into the community, triples it in mental health services.
Again, Mosaic Counseling's West Michigan Therapist Panel, expansive and growing in this May of Mental Health Month to discuss. We are doing just that with Sarah Lowenkowski. Sarah, what else do we need to know before we have to say goodbye to you?
Well, I would say if you or you know anyone who could benefit from talking to a therapist, please visit our website. It's mosaiccounseling.com. And you can, from the website, you can schedule a free intake. And you can do that anytime, middle of the night, weekend. And we can get you right in. And then, or you can also always call us at 616-842-9160. And we have a really unique way of answering the phone. A human being answers the phone. Isn't that remarkable?
That is remarkable. Yet another uniqueness. I'm liking this testimony from one of your clients. I knew I needed someone to talk to as soon as possible, which we all know that's important. Called over and no one had availability. Mosaic was on top of getting me in touch with the counselor right away, and it has helped me so much in my journey. We're all on a journey. And if you've got a little speed bump,
yes,
get in touch.
Yeah, please. Please do.
Thank you, Sarah. What do you do for fun?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Oh,
gosh.
Oh, I don't know if I can answer such a question. I would say for fun, I love spending time right now with my grandkids. Love, love, love that. Have three of them and another one on the way.
Look old enough to have grandkids, but that's okay.
Well, thank you.
All right, Ms. Sarah, thank you very much on behalf of Mosaic Counseling and the lives that you and yours are touching. You take care.
You too. Thank you.
An event you don't want to miss. Come June 9th, it's a Tuesday night from 6 to 9. It's the Beggar's Bell Bash, an opportunity to put the spotlight on the wonderful Franciscan Life Process Center. Have you been? It's on Down Street in Lowell. I say go. Looking forward to this conversation and the discussion of the bash. It's literally that. I bring you on. Thank you for your leadership to you, Sandy Kateski. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It's great to be here, Shelley.
Yes. Next to you. Wonderful. Sister Gabriella Petirossi in the house. I know I didn't go Italian with that, but how's that? That's four syllables, right?
Perfect. Yes. Thank you.
Sister, thank you for your leadership as you are as well. Center Director Sandy, you Executive Director, Sister Gabriella. If one's never experienced a center, what are they in store for?
Yes, it's a beautiful structure in 230 acres of land in Lowell. And we do many activities from counseling to music therapy to art workshops. Great place for retreats, great place to just walk our 5K of trails, and a beautiful place in nature and with the presence of many professionals and us sisters.
I've run that trail in October. Let's do it again. We'll talk more on that. What a beautiful land and art, and I know all of the interests. And yet there is a Franciscan presence.
Yes, so we are Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist, a Catholic community, and we are in 12 centers pretty much around the United States and in Rome, Assisi, and the Holy Land. So our mission and apostolate is a Franciscan way to basically connect with everybody, one person at a time, just like St. Francis of Assisi did.
Yes, bringing you on, Sandy, with your many talents, not only as center director, but past talents, what, in music therapy and more?
Yeah, I am currently the center director as well as the music therapy program director. And I've been a board certified therapist for 20 years now, if you can believe it, still seeing some clients and working with the music therapy team today.
Yes. And would you add on what the center offers? There's land, there's art, there's music, there's soul searching and more.
Yeah, we have really started to open up after our revitalized campaign and our renovation of our center. So the space is really beautified now. We have been recently offering some cooking classes for folks to come in and learn some authentic Italian cooking from Sister Gabriella, as well as Spanish classes. So in addition to our regular human services, such as music therapy and counseling, yes, we've kind of expanded to get people out there and working with their hands and learning new things.
Yes. Sister, beautiful voice you have. What's your background?
Well, I was born and raised in Assisi, Italy, and I joined the community. My former degree is in business and marketing. But when I entered the community, somebody saw in me a gift in counseling, and so I am a marriage and family therapist, and I do that on the side of being the executive director. And I also love to cook, as you said, so and much more.
And aren't most of the sisters out and about in the community as businesswomen?
Yes, we're very active, and we are professionally trained. So in our house, for example, we have one sister is a physical therapist, two sisters who do our finances, another sister is a vice principal in a high school. And many of our sisters are trained so that we can give the best help that can be offered out there.
Have a few animals on the farm?
Yes, actually, the family is growing. We have little chicks and chickens. We have two baby goats and two full-grown goats and two sheep. We have cattle starting from next June, and bees and all the wildlife out there, which is a lot of wildlife.
Yes, thank you for that. Let's get into how you often can keep the lights on, not only through donations and obviously your work in the community, but there is a need to bring the community together. It's the annual Beggar's Bell Bash. What's happening?
So this year, our Beggar's Bell Bash is being hosted out at our center in Lowell, and it will be outdoors on the land. We will have a tent for coverage in case weather isn't permitting, but we've got live music. We have a keynote speaker, Sister Damia Marie Savino, who's going to be speaking on the creation of St. Francis. On his creation and loving that creation. And then we have a really special feature this year that's new. We are so appreciative of everyone in our community that contributes and helps to make sure our mission continues to pay forward, that we wanted to recognize those in the community who are living in the spirit of St. Francis and who are doing this side-by-side work. So we have established two new awards this year. One of the awards is In the Spirit of St. Francis, and the other award is called the Little Portion Award, which is a concept very special to the Franciscan spirituality. It's called the Porciuncula Award. So we have two awardees that are happening that evening, as well as our keynote.
Yes. How does one get a ticket?
It's very easy to get tickets these days. All you have to do is go to lifeprocesscenter.org. Right on the homepage of the website is the Beggar's Bell Bash banner. You click on that. It'll take you to the ticket page option. It's $85 per person, or a deal for a couple. It's only $150 for a couple.
Do the winners know they're receiving?
The winners do know that they are receiving, yes.
That's nice. Sister Gabriella, talk to me. You have a goal to raise at least $160,000. And these dollars go right back into your nonprofit programs, such as counseling, music therapy, and more.
Yes, exactly. We have our population that comes to the Franciscan Life Process Center obviously is in need, and music therapy is not a service that is covered by insurance, so it's very helpful. And counseling also, with all the business of insurances, etc., many families find it struggling to receive services out there. And so we put it back into our services and also in the land, because the land is such an important part of our life now, given all the AI and technology, etc. We need that groundedness in the land and offering more and more out there.
Yes. And Sandy, if you could expand on the land program, and you really incorporate students to hit the center and learn about the land.
Yes, we do. Every year, every school year, we partner with fifth graders in the Catholic school systems. We'd love to expand it to all school systems and those interested. It's called our Environmental Education Program. These kids come out three times a year in each season, fall, winter, and spring, and they bring all of their classroom work to the center for an entire week. They incorporate working on the land, learning about the land, as well as doing their writing, mathematics, and science, all of that incorporated. And then at the end of the year, on Friday, there's a large family picnic. They can invite their families out to see what they've been working on the land, and just really get that exposure out there. And we do want to make sure that schools can continue to receive their services. And so some of these funds help to support this program and that the fact that the kids can come out every year.
Yes. And a little more emphasis on the art program that you have. I mean, it's wonderful with the artists in residence opportunities, yes?
Yes, we do. We have art workshops that are currently happening, and we bring in artists that come from local West Michigan area, and then we go all the way out sometimes to California and Texas and bring in these folks to help teach all different types of medium and concepts. And we still have workshops if people are interested in enrolling. Now we are going to be continuing our workshops through November this fall, so there's still opportunity to sign up.
And lastly, whoever would like to answer this, the Beggar's Bell Bash is titled in remembrance of what, religious brothers who would beg for food?
Yes, basically the monks would go out with little cups to beg for food. But the beautiful analogy that they made was the fact that the monks themselves were full of their spirituality and their life in God. So it was never an empty exchange, but was an exchange of their wisdom, their spirit, and their godliness for food and what would sustain them materially. So for us, the analogy is the same. You know, what people receive in our center is so much more than just the services. They feel built as a person, as, you know, the dignity of a human person.
Yes. Sandy, what else do you have to offer?
For the Beggar's Bell?
Yeah, or just in general, just as we look to wind down. Yeah.
You know, we have a lot coming up this summer. We have our True Adventure Series. It's a week-long summer camp. We have three different topics, and it's happening within the month of July. So we have a Wild West Week. We have In the Footsteps of St. Francis Week, which is super fun. And then we also have a new one called Crafty Creations. So if you've got little crafters out there who like to do art and things, that'd be the week for them. Within these summer camps, the kids get to experience outdoors, cooking, animals, archery, all different types of enrichment activities. It's really focused on unplugging and get those kids out from behind the screens. We need them in person.
I'll go back to you for final details. What do you leave us with, Sister?
Well, this year is the 800th anniversary of the death of St. Francis, and as a Franciscan community, our accent this year is especially on furthering the mission of St. Francis, of rebuilding the church, not as a building, a stone, but as people, as community. St. Francis is a very evangelical man, and it calls out from everybody, not just Catholics, and even non-Catholics, non-Christians, you know, Muslim. He is one of the first saints who went to the Middle East to just not to evangelize, but to dialogue. And I feel that in this day and age, we do need to dialogue. We need to decrease our violence, and we need to really build peace and hope.
Thank you for your leadership as executive director, Sister Gabriella Pettirossi. Say your last name.
Pettirossi.
Oh, thank you. I like that even better. Appreciate you. All right, Sandy Katoski, you remind us how to get our tickets for the 9th, please.
Absolutely. Head right to lifeprocesscenter.org. Right at the top of the homepage is the banner for Beggar's Bell. It's got the countdown to the day. So if you wonder if you have time left, there's still plenty of time to get tickets. $85 per person, $150 for a couple. And if you know you got a big family and a lot of guests, there's 10 that sit at a table. You can purchase a table for $850.
Proceeds going right back to the programming. Franciscan Life Process Center, thank you, Sister, and Sandy, take care.
You too, Shelley.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Woody Allen, here you go. I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Have a great day. I'm Shelley Irwin.